So in this next, I mean, the second talk of my about my work about on test selection and the review, which means key lamination. So in the previous talk, I gave a precise definition for the these laminations associated with rational map in general. So first, let me briefly recall the object which we were gonna deal with. So first, for a rational map F, so we define three kinds of lamination for them. So the first lamination is the affine lamination. So the affine lamination consists of the leaves isomorphic to C, or basically its quotient obifold. But in our case, we basically deal with the case just AF is consists of C leaves. So and then we're gonna take R bundle or R plus bundle for them. So just adding height for them. So then we're gonna have H3 lamination, the hyperbolic 3 lamination with leaves isomorphic to the hyperbolic 3 space. So we briefly we call this H3 lamination for them. And then so there is an analogy, so a big analogy for them. So now AF is like similar to just C, and the HF is similar to H3. So now we are taking a bundle, R bundle. And so now for this lamination, there is an action which is a kind of lift of the original rational map. Then we can take the quotient. So now MF is given by this HF over F hat, because the action on this HF is properly discontinuous. So in the case of Clanyon group, we have exactly the same situation, and we have three manifolds like this, well, three orbifolds in general. So now we have a similar object to them. So what we're gonna do today is thinking about the how to describe the change of lamination when the parameter of G squared plus C moves in the Mandelbrot set. For example, so in this picture, here is a whole Mandelbrot set, and we magnify this part. So I think the simplest degeneration plus bifurcation process is given in this way. So now first, we start with this square, just this squared, with parameter C is 0. Then it goes to our limb, the root of my limb. Then and it goes to another hyperbolic center. So now this for this parameter, the Julia set is called Duadis rabbit. So now we consider the sequential path from this to this. So, for example, if we take a parameter around here, then the Julia set looks like this. And next, we take a parabolic parameter, then the Julia set looks like this. And after that, the Julia set seems like this. And so we consider how the lamination is going to change along this path. So what we need is some kind of investigation on this bifurcation process. But maybe in this picture of the field that Julia set, so we can see some curves. Actually, there are the continuous equipotential curves. So, and this is associated with the Kenny's coordinate around here. and this is also around the attracting cycle, and this is associated with the fatal coordinate. So we draw some equipotential curves, but now we can still have a similar property, or what can I say? It's like a similar combinatorial properties we can say. So maybe what? Pattern. Yeah, great. Yeah, similar patterns. So maybe we can find some combinatorial property preserved along this path. So what we're gonna do is, so first we characterize such a combinatorial patterns, and we're gonna introduce the tessellation for them. And so by using tessellation, so we'll observe how the lamination will change in the combinatorial sense. So, okay, so let me talk about them. So before that, so let me make a brief remark about Kleinian groups. I mean, just CF, but in the Fukushian group case. So in the case of quasi-Fukushian case, so now, in that case, the Kleinian group, actually the Fukushian group, is acting like this. So now this is the sphere. Now here it is H plus, it is the upper half plane, and the lower, and we have now R hat is the, in general, limit set for this gamma. And suppose that this gamma gives one functional torus or something. So now, the action of gamma, they're acting the upper half plane and lower, and then by taking the quotient, so we have, for example, this is a one functional torus, so we have one functional torus S and its mirror image here. I'm just taking a complex conjugate. So we have the manifold just like the S cross 01R. So now we have two ends corresponding to upper half plane and the lower half plane. So yeah. So now just we consider the kind of deformation for this this manifold. So now we fix the S, the structure of S, in the sense of Teichner space. And for the lower half space, we consider kind of deformation, S bar. So what kind of deformation we're going to take? So the first, we consider a path, a simple closed cover on here, like this. And we pinch them. So then we have topologically 0-3 type of Riemann surface. So yeah, and then the next step is we plump this spot. So and again we have a one functional torus. So actually this step looks trivial, but with a marking, we can make a little bit difference. So now with this marking, we can take this plumping plus twisting. So then, for example, we have a then twist for this. So when we plump this one, so we can make a twisting. So actually, in the lamination, on this path, so we will have something similar to this situation, but not exactly the same. But please keep in mind that this kind of situation will happen. So now, let me talk about the situation. So now, we're thinking. This case. Now, F is hyperbolic and G is parabolic. Now parabolic is, now just consider the case that G is here and F is this one or this one. So in this case, we still have a little bit similar situation to that one. So it means, now we have a Julia set like this. And this one is parabolic. And we have the situation like this. But actually, the dynamics outside the Julia set are topologically or conformally the same. So we cannot distinguish in the sense of conformal dynamics to these dynamics outside and the dynamics of G squared. Actually, this is just D. This is S1, but here it's infinity. So actually, we kind of preserving the dynamics of the dynamics on the like upper half space, but not exactly the same. Now we are deforming the lower half, like a door, the lower half space. So we want to describe what is going on for this part. So the idea to describe such an object is the tessellation. So the tessellation is, so the idea is just dividing the interior of the field of Julia set into countably many tiles, divide into tiles. So the tile is, tiles are of the form like this. So we have kind of parameterization for them. So we use three parameters for them. So the first one is angle. Actually, this is very naturally work with the external rays. And M is called levels. It is just like how it is close to the attracting cycle or parabolic cycle. And now here, this is a signature. This is a plus or minus. This is just a technical reason we need to introduce this. So let me show you the picture of this kind of tessellation. So now there are the samples for them. So for example, the most the easiest case is the g squared plus 1/4 here. Yes, the much easier case is, now consider that the parameter goes from the center to this cusp. So that the dynamics is, the tessellation is given like this. So now each component bounded by curves are each tiles. So now we have, for example, this region is the tiles of angle 0 and the signature plus. And here, the tiles of angle 0 and the signature minus. So now how the angles are organized. So now, for example, now consider, now this is the similar picture for them. This is the problem. So now this is the angle of external ray of angle 0 and 1/8, 1/4, and 1/2. And for example, this part is the angle, the tiles of angle 1/8. Because here it is 1/8. So, and so they have, we have a nice property for them. So, for example, if we take.
Can I touch it? Do you have point?
Yeah, so just landing point. No, each tile. No, not in general.
Okay.
In the case of parabolic gate, they charge, but in this case, no. For example, the like a tile like this is not charging. No, it's not parabolic case. So in the parabolic case, this part is degenerated to 1 point. Yeah. So now, for example, if we no, in this case, quadrilateral. And then in the parabolic case, there are triangle. So now, if we take a ray plus some tiles, then by taking one orbit, we have the tiles with angles 1/4, 1/4, and next we have the 1/2, and then next we have angles with 0. So and inside the tiles, inside this the invariant, we call this say tunnels. So in this tunnel, we have invariant dynamics like this. So now here it is hyperbolic, but if we make the parameter more close to the parabolic, so when we have like maybe we should make iteration much higher, then much closer to the parabolic case. So but we still have properties like combinatorial properties or patterns are preserved. So in many cases, in other cases, so we still have, oh no, this is not good. But for example, for given some petal number, we can take such similar tessellation for them. This is for just associated with this parabolic point, one cell limb. So we still have combinatorial property like this. This is the external ray of one 1/7 and 2/7 like this, and the tiles on this region has the angle 1/7, and this region have 1/2, and so on, and it works with the external rate of angles. So now we can see another examples like this. This is for the 0 to -1 line, and this is for this airplane picture, and this is for the parameter like this, and this there what we showed in the previous case. But in this case, we can see that the angles of tiles with angles or panels of angles 1/7 is in this case they are connected, but in this case they are divided into two parts. So they will give a big difference. Now there are some other objects, but maybe let me skip them. So now we can introduce such an object. So by using this, this is the structure of Lagrangian on the angles. Now angles are determined like this. So if it getting the angle levels, the levels get higher if the tiles gets closer to the attracting cycle or their pre-images. So that is the property. Now this is the organization for the angles, but that's what we explained before. So now, so by using this tessellation, so we have a big property. So for tiles, so is now what we can say is so. Tile of angle theta and m and plus minus or plus or minus is mapped univalently to tiles of angle 2 theta and m plus 1, and the signature is preserved. So in this property, using this property, we can organize the dynamics inside the Julia set in a global way. So And one good application is we can get a good semi-conjugacy for them. So now there exists H, which is a semi-conjugacy. Between F and G. So now how the semi-conjugacy look like? So, for example, in this case, if we pinch these arcs to one point, then to each segment to one point, then we can have topologically the same picture as the parabolic dynamics. And if we pinch them, then maybe we have the parabolic kind of picture. So now we can do that exactly the same thing. So, and there exists IF, which is an invariant family over starlight stuff. And such that H just pinches HF to IF to IG. IG is just the grand orbit of parabolics. Actually, this H has more better property that H can sense external rays to external rays, and the tiles of this address to the tiles of this address. So they are preserving the address of tiles and tile to tile and the external ray to external ray. And moreover, it external ray lands for both F and G to the Julia set, and the landing points are also preserved. So they give it depends on the which component we will approximate the. For example, from this the Julia set finishes the topo. Yeah. So in this case, for example, from here to here we have a homeomorphic picture of the Julia set, but next from here to here we don't have a. We have some kind of pinching picture.
So, but is it part of the theorem that from the side if there is homeomorphism? Is it followed from?
Yeah.
So, you know exactly so what happens when you have the whole kind of pinching.
Yes. So, and the pinching is just happens to this IF. And moreover, so by taking a good tessellation, so we can say that this H converges to identity if F tends to G. So in this part, you need to use some kind of continuity property of the vector coordinate and linearizing coordinate from Kenny's coordinate to the Fatow coordinate. We have a kind of continuity. So by investigating them very precisely, then we can get continuity to the identity. So now we have this tessellation is a continuous object. So in that sense. So what we can do is lifting these objects to the lamination. So now we consider the degeneration of laminations. Now, so let us describe the degeneration of laminations by means of this semi-conjugacy. So now C bar is divided into some parts. Now, denote this by like this, and what is this? Now Julia set and the Fatow set, and the Fatow set is divided into two parts. Now the part containing infinity and the part containing zero. Now more precisely, now Vf is just C bar minus Kf, this is the Julia set, and Df is the interior of this is the Julia set. So we divide them into three parts, and each of them have independent dynamics, and they never merge in the dynamics, so they are fully invariant. So So now we can make a list of these objects in the natural extension defined in the last talk. So now in the natural extension NF, which is the set of all possible backward orbits, this is divided into three parts. So JF hard. And so in addition, so let me now recall that we want to describe the affine part or affine lamination for them. So now affine lamination is considered as has some proper subset on this set. So now we want to describe the degeneration by using the Pinchin semi-conjugacy upstairs. So now the Pinchin semi-conjugacy upstairs are naturally lifted to this space. So before that, so let me characterize the how the such a lamination is resting in this set. So now, so we have to consider the irregular part. So now irregular part is, in this case, is plus infinity is, but now we need to characterize the attracting cycle. Attracting. Or in more generally, so or parabolic cycle of F go FC. And now we can lift them in the natural extension. So now the fact is, now the affine part, is not the same in the case of parabolic or hyperbolic quadratic math, and this is given in this way. So now BF hat minus the lift of infinity and the F hat union JF hat minus OF hat. This is the exact description of this one. And the last week we checked that they are identified with affine lamination. So to describe the affine laminations, we need to describe these sets. So now the these exceptional sets are the irregular points. So now let us consider the list of the semi-conjugacy. So now we have the AG. Now AG is now we are identified that BG hat and union and infinity hat and union of BG hat and JG hat minus OG hat. This is a lift of parabolic cycle. And the H hat is a natural lift of this, so this natural extension. So now we have a natural lift H hat, which maps an F to NZ. So now, what kind of sets are mapped onto this one? So actually, in IF, now F and G are like that in that like the rabbit case. So now AF are having the exactly the same part as this part. So now these parts are preserved and conformally we cannot distinguish them. And So DF hat and JG will change a little bit, but actually, if by taking some set, so we can have properly the nice onto map to them. So now the set corresponding to this set is a kind of special set. So actually there they may be in the not only OS hat. So there are some parts which is pinched to the irregular parts. So we need to describe this. So now actually this IF is invariant path joining the repairing cycle and the irregular point. So now we formally just set H inverse of or G hat to IG, IF. Then what is IF is? The IF is the lift of the path like this. Now, Now this is a picture for the IF. So now, for example, in the case of the from approximating by the main cardioid, the IF looks like this. So there are the curves, and they are pinched. But this component of IF is invariant under the iteration, and they are pinched to one point, parabolic point. But these paths are still univalently mapped to each other, and they are contained in the affine part, not irregular. So it's regular. So this exists a backward orbit. They are always containing in this invariant path. So we need to remove such a path. So now we can say that there exists a theorem, and that now H hat sends a F minus IF onto a G. This is onto such that if a leaf and IF is disjoint, this is a leaf, then the picture is like this. Now we have a leaf L, and there exists another leaf L prime in this AG, and there are some components leaf-wise compactly contain some components like this, and they are pinched to just one point. I mean, each component is pinched to one point. And this happens in a leaf-wise, so they don't change the topology of leaf, which is homeomorphic to C. But if L and IF intersect, so the things will change. So in this case, we have a completely different picture. Too big. Now, for example, this is the case for the rabbit case. So in the rabbit case, if it is a parabolic case, so there is a parabolic point, and this parabolic point has three distinct repairing directions, and backward orbits converge to this point along these three repairing points. So each three repairing point corresponds to a leaf, and they have three leaves corresponding to this one, and they are close to a regular point of this lift of parabolic fixed point. And if the leaf comes from the if F comes from the main cardioid, there are three repairing points. For there are three repairing points, and here is attracting, and they correspond to the repairing direction for this. So there are three leaves, and they have an intersection with IF, but each of them looks like a slit on each leaf. So they are pinched to one point. I mean, topologically they are still like graphs, but now pinched to one point, and we have a hyperbolic dynamics to parabolic dynamics kind of pinching for them. So in the case of the, if it comes from the one third limb, so now picture is very similar, but so we have a repairing point here, and the invariant curve looks like this. Now in this case, this one. So locally we have a blow up picture of this one. So this is a leaf corresponding to the repairing fixed point, and this graph is pinched into one irregular point, and we will have three leaves from one leaf. So, but in this case is the only one, the case that changed the topology of this. So now the affine, the basically, so affine laminations are not so much changed except these leaves intersecting this IF. So we call such leaves a principal. So they will give a main change of the dynamics. So now next, what we can go is the higher dimension. So in the higher dimension, it is a little bit difficult to describe the precise situation, but roughly, we can say that the theorem, very roughly, but there exists the VF in HF. This is invariant under a hat, such that that H hat on the affine leaf is lifted, I mean extended to the higher region. So this part is a little bit difficult to describe, but now in that case we remove some parts from the affine leaf, and then we have a surjective image to AM. So we still have a similar situation that we carve some place from this AF, then we have a surjective image. So with the similar properties. So this part is the most, actually technically this part is very complicated process, because the definition of the Lyubich-Minsky lamination is based on the like a meromorphic function and blah 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 situation. So we need to formalize this a little bit carefully. So than this case. So now we can still have the similar property. So now actually the given the height, but we can cut the similar situation. We can cut the some part over these these segments, and we still have a similar picture for them. So next, so we want to take a quotient. So this part is the most important case for us. So in the quotient case, so now actually this is a semi-conjugacy. So the back, so semi-conjugacy means that so some backward orbits, if they are pinched to one point, then the this is mapped also, and they are preserving the orbit by F hat and G hat. So by taking a quotient, so semi-conjugacy gives a natural quotient map. So MF minus VF over F hat to MG. This is just surjective and continuous, but we still have some properties, because this semiconductor is almost preserving the leaf and leaf structure, so they're just pinching some slits. So even for this hyperbolic case, so we just pinch the like a slit over, not like slit, I don't know how to say by this part. So just a star cross the R part to just one fiber. So in many cases, this map just pinches like this. So if we take a quotient, so the almost the same situation happens. So almost leaves are just pinched to some trivial part for them. And because the good thing is this F hat from HF to HF is fiber preserving. Well, this is given by definition because the fiber is given by pre-composition of the meromorphic function. So now the F action is composing the after the meromorphic function. So now, this fiber structure is nothing to do with this action. So now this fiber structure is preserved all the time. So now that situation is always preserved. So by taking a quotient. So now in this case, the most significant difference will happen for the part we remove this part. So actually this part comes from the principal waves. So now let me describe a little bit more about the principal waves. So now, in the case, so now for such F, now take our principal wave. So now L in F, then we can have some hyperbolization for them, taking our bundle, and actually this action is coming from the dynamics around the repairing cycle. So this gives a leaf LF in HF. So actually every principal leaf is associated with just one cycle. So by taking a quotient by F, then they will be merged into one leaf in MF. So this is in this case, the situation is like this. So the Julia set is like this, and the dynamics of F hat is like hyperbolic. And we take a quotient means that if we're taking the just a solid torus coming from this hyperbolic action on the H3. So now topologically they are solid torus. So in the same way, if we take a principal leaf for L prime, this is just the image of this L by replacing them. So we have the similar situation. So now we have the action is parabolic, and this LG, we will have LG. LG is just given by the H3 by translation, quotient by translation. So they will give a one rank one cast for them. So the structure is changed from a solid torus to rank one cusp. So now actually this V of Vf over F hat, now we just denote this as Vf, the small Vf. The small Vf is a path over this If. So If is, and the Vf is something like a region where over this path, but not only the five of them, so we need to carve some paths. So they are taking like a little bit more curves, like holding a, carving a tunnel for them. And they're pinched to one point to have this cusp. So maybe it is a little bit difficult to imagine the pinching from here to here. But the supposedly the thing happening is only this part to this part. So more, let me give a little bit more clear picture for them. So in this last 5 minutes, so let me talk about a little bit more precise description for them. So now we define the tessellation. So now, actually the MF is, MF is divided into some parts coming from this part. I mean, the BF of H is the hyperbolic, hyperbolized. I mean, they are taking the R boundary and which is the place over the BF and minus infinity. Yeah, it's the BF hat minus infinity hat. And I'm taking the hyperbolization and I'm taking the quotient. And actually, it is easy to check that B hat has similar property for them. And, well, they just formally, we just write this way. But the MF is, the MF has kind of two ends. So the situation is MF, I can't draw the picture for MF, but so the situation is like this. Now there is the boundary, ideal boundary for BF over F hat, BF hat minus infinity over F hat, because actually it is known that this action on BF hat minus infinity hat is property discontinuous. So, and then they have R bundle for them. So they have each of them have heights. So, and another ideal boundary is a kind of lamination coming from the tessellated part over F hat, and which they also have a height, and with some fibers over the Julia set. But Julia sets are not very dense, so they basically, the interesting thing happening around here. So, and one more thing is, so DF has a part which corresponding to the IF. And maybe you can say the IF hat. So, because the IF are very IF, the original invariant X system, invariant curve, like this. So in the, we can take a space of backward orbits for them. So for these orbits on the invariant system of curves, arcs. So now there are some laminated image for this. So now there exists a part which corresponds to IF inside. So now this IF part is just pinched. So now in many cases, so they are pinched in the case of IG. So there are mainly they are pinched to a point. But for some IG, the one point is pinched, but this point is not regular, and they don't have it, this point doesn't have any fiber over there. So that this situation is roughly described in this picture, this figure. But I think I don't have enough time to describe the exact meaning for this. So now this is the fundamental domain for the LF. LF is the principal leaf. So now this is the fundamental domain, but it's much easier to consider this vertical fundamental domain, but actually they don't contain the core curve, but anyway, this is much easier to describe the situation. So now, for them, there are two tessellated parts, and this thick line is the image of IF. And this part, and by taking a quotient, by taking a quotient, for example, this invariant part is corresponding to this annular domain. The annular domain is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I mean, so this is an invariant part. I mean, this curve is mapped to this part by the expanded reaction. So now by taking the quotient in the hyperbolic way, this looks like this. So, and then this part is pinched. And this part is pinched is just like this part is going to a two parts of this cusp. And each quotient is look like this. In the principal leaf, so they are pinched, right? At every level, they are pinched, but this point is not contained in the lamination. And but actually, there are the winding part. I mean, they are laminations. So in the principal leaf, there are many leaves winding around this principal leaf. So but these parts, so it is expressed like this. So they are pinched into one point, but they still have a fiber over this Julia set. So, and this picture is actually resting in this inside, but not in the three-dimensional way, but it's more higher dimensional way. But this is the situation of the cusp neighborhood. So, and well, let me briefly talk about the twisting situation. So now why this such a twisting situation happens as I described. So if we pinch them, so then they're plumped again. So but originally as we have seen in this picture, so now the quotient hyperbolic solid toroid is first given by just torus minus leaf, or I mean the fundamental domain here is just mapped to one leaf, but in this case this just only affector is mapped to one leaf. So but if we take quotient this part it's very difficult to talk in this picture. So in the tessellation, so for example, the difference of the situation is like this. So in the tessellation, they are shared in this case. And another case, this is another case, the lower case. Lower case is like a, so the picture is coming from this. So now we consider only this region. And the difference is quite different. I mean, this situation and this situation are quite different, but we take a quotient and we finally have a similar solid torus. But when we take a quotient, so now coming from to here is translated to coming from here to another part. But the dynamics gives a different levels for them. So this causes a kind of dislocation of the lamination. For in the principal leaves, it is just like a giant tree, and there are many winding leaves around. The winding leaves are in the same way, the same amount of levels, they will dislocate for them. So this is the situation what is happening on the quotient lamination, which is a degenerating part for them. So maybe it's very last, but last sketch, but yeah, this is the what I got in the investigation. So let me finish it, folks.